And this morning I'm preaching from Romans 12:12 through 13, so you might want to get your Bible out or use an electronic device to look up the scripture. I will be reading the scripture. It's short, so you might not need to do that. Getting to these verses, 12 and 13 flow directly with basics for spiritual wellness. It's very good, these spiritual things, like you need to show Christian love without hypocrisy. That really affected me. I preached on that, and the Lord's been impressing me with that. And so we get health-promoting things like abhorring what is evil, clinging to what is good. This is the kind of devotion that God wants. This is spiritual wellness. Give preference to one another, Paul says. Honor the other person. Are you doing that? You know, the Holy Spirit impresses me. I need to honor the other person. Always think of that Philippians passage I brought up when I preached this. Look at them as being better than yourself, as the attitude in Christ. And all of this is a manifestation of a healthy life in Christ. And so Romans 12 pushes you to prioritize Christian wellness. Live well by setting yourself apart from the sinful aspects of the world. That's a big one. Wellness is looking more like the new creation of God that you are instead of the old creation that you were. See? It means serving Jesus as Lord as you pass through this world to get to your everlasting home. But serving the Lord's not easy. We get these difficulties. They come with following Christ. Just being a Christian has difficulties. Distractions are out there. They compete with your life. They compete for your attention. And so what you got is this world wearing on you, and it wears you out. Tries to make you unwell. And so God says, present your body to Him. Present it as a set apart, a holy, sanctified, acceptable sacrifice. It's acceptable to Him. And what all this is, it's more than religious activity. It is living worship. That is what you're becoming. Living worship of the one who created you and gives you the privilege to exist in this world. And so the Spirit tells us, don't be conformed to the sinful things of the world. Don't be conformed to those. Discern what the will of God is through transforming your thinking by the renewing of your mind. That's what we do with God's Word. And it says the will of God is spiritual wellness when you look at all these things together. Why is it that way? Because it's everything good and it's acceptable and perfect, Paul says. And all this is part of your wellness program. Now, be zealous. Be fired up in the Spirit serving the Lord. That's what we get. And then verse 12. He says, rejoicing in hope, persevering in tribulation, devoted to prayer, contributing to the needs of those set apart in Christ. That would be saints. That's what that term means, those set apart in Christ. Practicing hospitality. So prepare your heart for this sermon. Do the basics for Christian wellness. Let's pray. Father, I just ask that you would bless all of us with your word to take it in, digest it, assimilate it, and live it for your glory. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, each day, I see news reports of events in the world. I think a lot of us are familiar with that. It's one of the first things I do as I go through my routine in the morning is I kind of look at the news. I want to look at the news and kind of get that out of the way. But almost immediately, my attention is captivated with what the world calls the newsworthy items. And I try to sift through it all. So many tragedies out there, so much political intrigue, at least a lot of it's drummed up and kind of fake intrigue, you know, we're pushed into believing that's what's going on. And there's economic news and there's new discoveries in science and medicine and all that kind of stuff. It just draws me in. But a lot of it's just gossip and it's packaged like it's supposed to be something else. So it really does attract me, you know, and I start getting into this, I start focusing on the things the world presents as important. Now, some of it is important. That's why I look at the news. Some of it is. But almost all of it lacks in a particular importance that I need and you need as Christians. See, it's not trying to encourage us in Christian wellness. And this is the way it is for you while you're in this world. No matter where you go, you can be getting gasoline in your car. You can be buying groceries, eating out with somebody or by yourself. Doing regular everyday business. I think a big one is being entertained. But just about everywhere you go, you don't find a whole lot, if any, encouraging you in Christian wellness. It's encouraging in all kinds of other things. The ways of the world basically rudely bump into your space throughout the day. And as the world touches you, it brushes you with a little bit of poison. And so what we're reminded of is this is a tough area of passing through the world. This is the tough part of it. And it likes to remind you that it's not going to make it easy for you to serve the Lord. It reminds you that it wants you to be like it is. That is the number one thing that the devil is trying to do. That's what he did to Adam and Eve in the garden. The serpent said, look, eat from the tree. Don't you know God knows that you're going to be like him? What a liar. It's the same lie he fell for. He lied to himself. But see, the world lies to you because it wants you to be like it is. And what is it? Spiritually unwell. Temptations everywhere. It's calling out to you. It's trying to draw you in. And it wants you distracted. And it knows how to do it. And it wants you to be lazy. It wants you to be spiritually complacent. And it tells you, live the dream, man. Follow your heart. But it's not telling you, live God's heart. Follow Him. And it tells you you're wasting your life away by serving the Lord. That's the lie. And here we are, we're Christians and we're born in the Spirit and we want to be spiritually well. And we got this rough path. You know, it's like when food became an industry, a money-making scheme, way before any of us were born. And food as industry infiltrated the natural food chain of God's creation. And so you got all this industrial food, and it's now part of our culture. It's now part of our lives. And what they do is they do studies, and they perfect the taste-enhancing ingredients and all the chemical combinations that they put into the product. And it's designed to make you want it. It's designed to make you want a little bit more. You're not satisfied with the normal intake. It's designed to make you want just a little bit more. And it pushes you to push beyond your natural appetite to keep on going. More. And your taste keeps saying, wow, this is just really great stuff. This is good. While the actual product is bad for your wellness. It's bad. And then it bombards you with advertising to reinforce it. It's seducing you. It's tempting you. And it tells you you're losing out if you don't get and eat the popular stuff. It's trying to get you to conform to its presentation of its own version of food. I think most of us have forgotten what real food is anymore. And so this is the way it is with the product of sin coming from the spiritually dead world. The world sin market has infiltrated God's creation. Instead of what God says is good and acceptable and perfect, you keep getting bad, unacceptable stuff everywhere you turn. Well, there it is. It's just everywhere. And the sin-peddling world finds ways of enhancing the taste of sin. It's trying to make you want it. It pushes you to more. It's wearing at you. It erodes your spiritual health. It says, if you don't partake in the sin that it's tempting you with, you're losing out on this great life that it claims it offers you. It's trying to get you to conform to a perverted version of goodness. So remember, it's just a liar. It's trying to steal your health. And so it hurts you inside while it's giving you this artificial taste that seems so, so good. Now, to get spiritual wellness and to keep it, you're going to have to be proactive. You're going to have to battle the world's strategy with God's strategy. That's the only way to do it, folks. God's strategy. Can't do it yourself. You must eat the right spiritual food. You must get the right spiritual exercise. You must rest in Christ Jesus, in His grace, in His lordship. I mean, it's just like physical health requires good food, exercise, and rest. Right? You got to pay attention to spiritual needs. You got to take action, or your needs aren't going to be fulfilled. You're going to flounder. So let's look at the pursuits for our fitness. They're going to help us handle the spiritual fatigue and the poison and the laziness trying to make us unwell. Now, looking at what you need to nurture spiritual wellness, a starting point is you need to be rejoicing in hope, persevering in tribulation. Rejoicing in hope, persevering in tribulation, those are both connected. Now, you can hope for a lot of things. You can hope for a better day. You can hope for provision. You can hope for physical health. A lot of good things that you can hope for. I hope for a lot of things. I usually rejoice when I have those things. And it's okay to rejoice like that too. I mean, there are a lot of good things to hope for. And it's good to rejoice when you have them. So take that thought and bring it to the most important area of your life. The most important, your relationship with God.
Amen.
The one who created you. The Lord wants a rejoicing relationship with you and Him. You know, He wants you to rejoice because you've been spiritually healed in salvation. Rejoice because your salvation is sure and secure. Your salvation lasts forever. Well, this is what you rejoice in. But you're going to have to do it in faith. You must do it in faith. Necessity. You see, this faith is the substance of what you hope for, and it's the evidence of what you see with spiritual eyes. Rejoice in what you believe that you have now and in what you're going to get forever and ever and ever. This is what we're called to rejoice in. We rejoice in God and we rejoice in the blessing. This is spiritual wellness I'm talking about. So don't say, well, you know what? I just can't rejoice. Everything is so bad. My life is so messed up and it will be messed up still tomorrow. I just can't rejoice. Well, you know what? Everybody can say that. But God says you can rejoice. And it's rejoicing in your salvation, and you do it in faith. And it's the only way that you're going to get to nurture the necessities for spiritual wellness. Now, back in chapter 5, Paul urged the same thing. He said, you were declared righteous by faith. Was it by your works or by what? Faith.
God's grace.
That's it. By God's grace and through faith, right? But grace is all about grace. And so what do you have now? He says there, you now have peace with God through Christ Jesus. Well, that's you. God declared you righteous so that you will have peace with Him, and you have it. And so Paul said, that's the reason you rejoice in hope. You know, there may not be any other reason to rejoice while in this unwell world, but that's the one. That's the big one. You can and you must and you should be latched on to that reason for rejoicing. God declared you righteous. You have peace with the holy, righteous God. And so you rejoice, but it's in hope. You see, that's the faith. Rejoice in hope that you have God's glory in Christ. Rejoice that you will get the ultimate glorification in your resurrection. Wow, won't that be awesome?
Amen.
Well, rejoice. Now, it doesn't take away the pain. It doesn't take away the pain, the bruises that the world inflicts on you every single day. But it keeps you in the right perspective while the physical and the emotional pain of this temporary world is hurting you. Paul said something else. He said, we rejoice in tribulations because it proves what we are. He said, the hope we have in that is the same thing. Having been declared righteous by Christ's blood, you will be saved from the wrath of God through Him. Well, that's the hope for your rejoicing and persevering in tribulation. So connect that with your wellness protocol that we're looking at here in chapter 12. Rejoicing in hope is what you do because life is not smooth.
Amen.
Not because life is smooth. You see, the world is full of problems. You're an enemy of Satan. You're an enemy of his kingdom as a matter of your existence. So here's what you're called to do. Rejoice in the blessing of your salvation. Rejoice in hope that your promise gets better and better and better in your future resurrected existence. This is what you get. Your future is based on the big blessing you have right now, though you pass through and you're experiencing the pain and the problems. You have everlasting life. You have all kinds of amazing things in store for you in this special relationship with God. You have the creator of all atoms and matter and energy and anything that exists as your friend. So right now, spiritual wellness involves living each day looking forward to your grand entrance into your future glory. That's when you're going to be more and more and more like Jesus. And man, He's got all kinds of stuff for trillions and trillions and trillions and trillions and trillions of years. I just described the first microsecond of eternity that He's going to have for all of us. Look forward to it. You know, it's going to be great. And when you look forward to that, that gets you living in the moment in victory. And that's what we need to be doing. See, everything's imperfect right now. I don't have to tell you that. But you're going to be where the tree of life thrives in perfection someday. And so that's the hope that we rejoice in. So each day, remember, you already have the spiritual healing of salvation. You're rescued from everlasting destruction. Your salvation is sealed. But you're thinking, I don't want to rejoice about anything. The toughness of life just can do that to you. You get to that point that you kind of just shut down. I mean, have you ever shut down? I have. I just shut down. But I know what I have in Christ Jesus. And I know what salvation really means. I know what's waiting for me past the door into perfection forever. I know what God's doing in me and with me every day in this life, even though I may not see it with physical eyes. You're always appreciated by God. Look at that with spiritual eyes. That's what all the scriptures are telling you. So we have the reason to rejoice. I have it. Rejoice, because in the grand scheme of things, you only have a brief number of days left here before you're going to be resurrected to perfection and happiness forever. Just a few more moments.
Amen.
God knows this world is where it gets personal for us in actions reflecting that hope. God knows the world gets in our way. And so rejoicing is not something He came up with as some kind of psychological mind trick for you to get through it. God knows rejoicing in your hope is part of the real spiritual wellness protocol. He knows you need to be reminded. This is why we need to bury into the scriptures all the time. We could be geniuses with photographic memories, but folks, we still need to be reminded. And the Spirit is like your doctor. He's like your coach. And He's with you. I mean, He's that good coach that you have. The one that's like, man, you're the best. You can do it. You can do it. And He's saying, rejoice in your hope right now by looking past the pain. Look past the temptations. Look at who you are in Christ. Look to what you will be. Because it's based on what you are now in Christ. See your resurrected glory. It's coming. And so then we look at this passage, and persevering is connected to this because, well, it's part of it. When I think of persevering in tribulation, I know that that's what it takes to serve the Lord zealously. Remember the scripture before this last week? Serve the Lord zealously. I have to persevere to do it zealously. I have to persevere to be filled in the Spirit. Remember, be boiling hot in the Spirit. Well, the tribulation comes because of serving Him. You know, staying saved is not the issue. You're never going to lose your salvation. That's not what the perseverance is. You see, your salvation perseveres because God preserves you forever. So perseverance has to do with pain. It has to do with persecution. God's given you a counterpunch to the persecution. So when I think of this calling, I think of not giving in to the world, not giving in to its pressure. Tribulation makes you very, 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 very vulnerable. You can be tempted to seek safety, and here's what you'll try to do. Blend with the world. And going the route of blending is very easy to understand. First of all, it's fun. The world does fun things, you know. Sin is fun. I didn't say it's right, but sin is fun. If it wasn't fun, nobody'd do it. And tribulation is not fun. So when you're going through tribulation, you can be tempted to think that the sin things of the world are worth the fun. And secondly, the most common temptation for this is that you, when you go the route of blending, you're no longer considered to be the enemy of the world. The way of chameleons is to blend in to be unrecognizable. You know what? They're safe that way. And so when you look and you act like the enemy, well, you're not persecuted like you are an enemy. You're ignored. In fact, you're patted on the back. You're a Christian chameleon. And what happens to tribulation? Well, it's eased off. You're not persevering and serving the Lord in a fired up way anymore. What are you doing? You're just existing, defeated spiritually, and living for futility. And that fun is there calling to your flesh. Come on in. Blend in with us. It's comforting. It's comforting to your flesh. Feels good. But there's another thing. Blending is not really very difficult to do. I mean, it's just really easy to do. Just look and act like the world and you've done it. So God says, resist by remembering the truth. You see, perseverance keeps at it. Keep remembering that those easy, comfortable things are not replacements. Your hope is the path to wellness. Remember who you are. Remember what you are. Remember what you will be in the resurrection forever and ever. Remember who you're called to serve. Rejoice in your salvation. Persevere through the pushback. This is the starting point on this path for Christian wellness. And so this gets me to another basic necessity for living in wellness. You must be devoted to prayer. Now, you know God. I'm assuming I'm talking to people who have received Jesus Christ as their Savior by grace, through faith and not works. You know God, the creator of the universe, the inventor of everything, the one who spoke billions of galaxies into existence, the one who created you. He saved you out of the curse of slavery to sin and death. He speaks to you through his word. He's given you a great privilege to speak to him. Prayer. And he really wants you to. And he really listens to you with real interest. Pray to God in the name of Jesus. We get that teaching in Scripture. And he cares. And he's given this prayer to you as your lifeline to him. Think about that. This is a gift. You know, prayer is a gift from God. Humans did not invent prayer. I don't care what all of the different people around the world and false religions are doing when they think they're talking to God. God invented prayer for us to do with him. And see, prayer is taking your hope and putting it into words. Be devoted to petition him in everything for wellness. Regular prayer is wellness in action. So knowing this, why would you not be devoted to prayer? Now just think about yourself. Think about your prayer life. And see, Paul knows we can neglect it. God does too. So he urges us, be devoted to it. Devoted means be committed. Be consistently dedicated to praying all the time. About what? Everything.
Amen.
Why not? You don't have a good reason. And if you're not taking advantage of this privilege, then you're missing out on one of the most important blessings for spiritual wellness. Now, I know it may seem like it's obvious, but bear with me and take this in for action, what I'm about to tell you. The blessings that come from petitioning God come as answers to prayer.
Amen.
And an answer only comes in response to being asked. That's what the word answer means. And an answer is an answer to something. And so this is very important for Christian wellness. If you want God to answer you with yes answers or with answers of provision, then what do you need to do?
Pray.
There you go. You got to be praying. You got to be in the practice of asking him questions. Ask him for things. Ask him to do things. And if you don't pray, what's there to answer? Nothing. Now here's the problem. There are two main reasons why Christians stop praying. It's not that we can't pray, but what is going on is that everything seems to be so fine in their life, they just stop praying. It's just the easy road now, man, so no reason to pray anymore. The other reason was when everything gets so overwhelmingly bad, they stop praying. Both are wrong reasons. Whether you think everything's just fine or not, God wants you to pray. It's how you maintain Christian wellness. This is part of the protocol. So when you're overwhelmed, what do you need to do about prayer? You need to keep at it even more and more and more and more. That's the pattern of Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane. You know, Jesus' soul was grieved to the very point of almost dying in his anxiety when he was in the Garden of Gethsemane. You know, Jesus was freaked out. Yes, it's okay to say Jesus was freaked out. He was so freaked out that he manifested an anxiety condition and where the blood was coming out of his capillaries mixed with sweat. That is an intense anxiety. Scripture tells us that he kept praying the same prayer over, 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 over again. He prayed three times that night for this relief to come. Finally, he gets a yes answer. An angel came down, strengthens him to go on. He does go on. Don't stop praying. Pray for other people. Thank God for anything good in your life. You know, thanksgiving is a form of prayer. Thanksgiving is a form of rejoicing. It's wellness. Are you giving thanks for the blessings you have? Well, devote yourself to it. Just keep thanking God for all the blessings that you have. And you do have blessings. Doesn't matter how horrible things get. You have blessings. You're God's child. That's the biggest one. And give thanks for the answers God chooses to give in his will, his wisdom, his way. This requires accepting God's wisdom in the grand scheme of things. He wants you to thank him for his wisdom in the grand scheme of everything, even when nothing makes sense to us. So when you ask him for something, don't be mad because he's decided there's a different answer. The one that you might not think is the most logical one is with God. God's got the whole world going on at once. Even in tragedies, and there's reasons. We're in a cursed world. He lets tragedies exist and happen. But they only happen for a brief time till we get into perfection. So what we need to be doing is we need to be giving thanks for his ultimate will and how he works all things together, because he has an ultimate will. Pray as you present your body as a living sacrifice, set apart and acceptable to him. Pray the scriptures, in other words. Pray and ask God, how can I use the gifts that you've given me? How can I be used by you? Pray to live boldly as a light in the dark world. Pray for provision, protection, wellness. Pray for unity. We need unity. Unity is so important for Christian wellness. You know, we've been called to stick together, but it's not happening like it should. Unhealthy divisiveness is all over the place. And listen to me, one of the greatest tragedies of our age is that division is becoming part of the definition of the church. Christians are looking for more reasons to divide than to stick together in this age. To stick together, we need the glue, though. And God wants us to, and the glue is what he gives. And what is it? It's the bond of Christian love. You see, you love bond by intentionally being aware of the needs of the people around you. Spiritual wellness. Be devoted to praying for their needs. Paul says, contribute to the needs of other Christians. Well, that's love bond. Search your heart. Consider how to do more than pray. Be part of the prayer answer. You know, sometimes love bond requires going beyond your comfort zone. Think of ways to be active as a part of contributing to the needs of others. I think of James 2:15 on this. It says, if a brother or sister is without clothing and in need of daily food, and you say, go in peace, be warm and be filled, but you don't give them what's necessary to help, what use is that? Well, there is no use in that. When someone needs help and it's not given, just saying everything's going to be fine means nothing. Christian wellness does something by getting involved with people. Get involved with their needs in the love bond. It's spiritual wellness. Pray for people defeated by tragic events. But also think about how to be part of the love bond answer. Have you ever thought of yourself as God's answer to prayer? That's a seriously real question. Because God will use you as an answer to someone's prayer as you contribute to the needs and practice hospitality, like Paul says. God operates through the members of the body of Christ. He operates through you. But it requires the wellness of the love bond. Same goes for practicing hospitality. Practicing hospitality means getting involved. Be inviting. Be willing to have someone be cared for by you. Now, back in that culture, it meant welcoming others into your home to experience the goodness of everything, practically. Hospitality often meant a place to sleep, experiencing the warmth or the coolness of your home, often including sharing food, water, and it usually included helping with protection. And practicing it means pursue it as your normal way. Hebrews 13:2 says, don't neglect hospitality. 1 Peter 1:9 says, be hospitable to one another without complaining. Be careful not to think it's someone else's job and it's not your job. It's always easy to think someone else is meant to do it. Someone else is meant to help. No, God wants you to practice being that person. That's what the scripture's saying to you. Don't neglect it. Do it without complaint. Pursue it. All these things are you being Christian wellness to others. And you're experiencing Christian wellness, and you're growing in it. Be part of nurturing your brothers and sisters with the fruit of the Holy Spirit. Amen? And so in a nutshell, I've been talking about doing the basics for Christian wellness. It's what we need. Start rejoicing in your hope, persevering in tribulation. Be devoted to prayer. Get into it. Go to God believing, trusting, hoping. Be united and connected with the body of Christ, the other members. Seek the love bond. Help meet their needs. Practice hospitality. Amen.